1996, Baseball Bill Clinton. The game, Baltimore Orioles 4, Kansas City Royals 2, at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Attendance, 46,818 on Tuesday, April 2, 1996. The weather, sunny, windy, and 50s. Hall of Famers, Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., pitcher Mike Mussina, and second baseman Roberto Alomar, plus Orioles general manager Pat Gillick. Game highlights. With a new general manager, Pat Gillick, new manager, Davey Johnson, and 14 players who were not on the 1995 opening day roster, the Orioles relied on a couple of very familiar faces to earn the win. Cal Ripken Jr. drove in three of Baltimore's four runs with a two-run single in the first inning and another in the third, while starting pitcher Mike Mussina earned the win, giving up only two runs in seven innings. Newly acquired closer Randy Myers earned the save. Jesse Orozco delivered a shutout inning in relief, pitching in his 755th major league game. The 39-year-old left-hander would go on to appear in nearly 500 more games over the next eight seasons to finish with baseball's all-time record for games played by a pitcher. His mark of 1,252 appearances, all but four in relief, may never be broken. No active pitcher has more than 800. The story. Like Ronald Reagan in 1984 and George H.W. Bush in 1992, President Bill Clinton was running for re-election in 1996, and that could only mean one thing. First pitch ceremonies in Baltimore on opening day. While Clinton didn't initially fit into the sports fraternity of his immediate predecessors, he did blaze his own trail to Baltimore during his first term. He was living out the boyhood dream of a kid who grew up as a baseball fan, played a little church league ball, but was better at playing the saxophone than playing second base. Clinton spent his childhood in Arkansas, about 500 miles south of St. Louis, baseball's southernmost city at the time, throughout most of the 1950s and 60s. He'd listened to Harry Carey's radio broadcasts of Cardinals games and occasionally picked up the powerful signal of WLS, radio home of the more distant Chicago Cubs. He would later become a Cubs fan during the 1970s when he started dating, and later married, Illinois native Hillary Rodham. The men who occupied the Oval Office for a dozen years ahead of Clinton had more notable sports resumes. Ronald Reagan played football in college and as a 30-year-old actor portrayed legendary Notre Dame running back George Gipp in the 1940 film Newt Rockne, All-American. Reagan also famously recreated Chicago Cubs broadcasts for a radio station in Des Moines, Iowa in the 1930s. Bush was well known to have played baseball at Yale. Even the man who followed Clinton in the White House, George W. Bush, had played Little League baseball and served as managing general partner of the Texas Rangers from 1989 to 94. What Clinton might have lacked in sports pedigree, he more than made up for once he took office. His first of their kind opening day appearances in 1993 and 96, an effort in early 1995 to help settle the baseball strike, and the boyish enthusiasm he brought later that year to Oriole Park the night Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games played were noteworthy. In 1997, he presided with Acting Commissioner Bud Selig over baseball's historic recognition of Jackie Robinson. In 1998, Clinton's signature drove the final nail in the coffin of baseball's antitrust exemption with respect to issues between players and owners. Clinton began to build his baseball brand less than 3 months after taking office in 1993. While continuing a time-honored tradition, he added some new wrinkles to eight decades of presidential openers. Ever since William Howard Taft converted the White House stables into a parking garage for automobiles, presidents had traveled by chauffeur-driven limousine on opening day. For the Orioles' 1993 home opener, Clinton had a different idea. He made the one-hour trip from D.C.'s Union Station to Baltimore's Camden Station by commuter rail. Like most other first-time visitors to Oriole Park, the second youngest American president in history was awed by the experience. He toured the Orioles clubhouse and watched the visiting Texas Rangers take batting practice. Unlike any of his predecessors, he elected to wear the home team cap and jacket, winning over the local fans who cheered his high-floating toss to Baltimore catcher Chris Hoyles. Of Clinton's delivery, Sun columnist John Steadman opined politely, he resembled a boy who grew up playing the saxophone. During his inning in the TV booth, he gushed with excitement. "Opening day is a way for every American to recover his childhood. You've given me back mine." Less than 2 years later, Clinton stepped in to try to end the work stoppage that had already canceled the 1994 World Series. Opening day 1995 was at risk. Of greater political significance, baseball's spring training camps in Florida and Arizona were scheduled to open in late February, two swing states Clinton lost in 1992, but looked to be in play in 1996. The president knew he was powerless in this situation, but needed to create the impression he was trying. The parties made no progress during the day-long session at the White House. By September, play had resumed, and the entire baseball world was focused on Oriole Park the night Cal Ripken Jr. was set to break Gehrig's unbreakable record. Clinton wanted to soak up every minute of it. By the third inning, the commander-in-chief was making the rounds to the broadcast booths. He spent the third inning with Chris Berman and Buck Martinez on ESPN, reminiscing about growing up a Cardinals fan. About this extraordinary event, Berman told the president, "It wouldn't be a night like this in baseball if you weren't at the park." An inning later, Clinton found his way to the radio booth where he joined the Hall of Fame voice of the Orioles, John Miller. After a Bobby Bonilla homer put Baltimore up 2-1, Ripken took the first three pitches from California Angels starter Sean Boskey. "Boskey can't walk Cal on this night, can he?" Miller asked his esteemed guest rhetorically. Ripken had homered the night before in the record-tying game, electrifying the Camden Yards crowd. "Send the order down there, will you?" demanded Miller, assuming some mythical presidential power. Conventional wisdom would have glued the bat to Ripken's shoulder on the next pitch. But this was no conventional evening. "If he throws one down the middle here, even at 3-0, the president interrupted Miller with a prediction, "he'll swing at it." Seconds later, Ripken drilled the next pitch into the left field seats. The ballpark exploded. So did the president. "Yes!" he shrieked. For an instant, the leader of the free world sounded a lot like a 9-year-old Cardinals fan in Hope, Arkansas. And just like the other 46,000-plus people who had packed every nook and cranny of Camden Yards, he stood and cheered for the Iron Man. By opening day 1996, Baseball Bill had hit his stride. Since a rainout on Monday forced the game to be moved to Tuesday, some rearranging of the president's schedule tightened things up a bit. Instead of limo or commuter rail, the first fan hopped into Marine One on the south lawn of the White House and landed at Fort McHenry in Baltimore minutes later. His chopper jostled the politically powerful welcoming committee, the mayor, governor, members of the Maryland congressional delegation, and more. And with a nod to their ongoing work toward a new collective bargaining agreement, Acting Commissioner Bud Selig and Players Union Chief Donald Fear were also at the fort to show the president they weren't fighting anymore, at least not in public. The parties were still operating under the terms of the CBA that expired in December 1993, the terms of which were restored by injunction of Judge Sotomayor in May 1995. After a 10-minute drive to Oriole Park, Clinton was again hanging out at Cal Ripken's locker. Out of respect for the political importance of Missouri's 11 electoral votes, only once since 1904 had anyone won the presidency without carrying Missouri, Clinton made sure to spend equal pregame time in the clubhouse of the visiting Kansas City Royals. His ceremonial first pitch was more confident than his debut in 1993. He shook off the orange streamers from his ankles that lingered from the pregame festivities and lobbed a strike to catcher Chris Hoyles. Clinton's cameo in the baseball strike drama of 1994-95 and his 1996 opening day engagement probably didn't sway many voters, but it's worth noting Clinton again carried swing state Missouri and reliably blew Maryland in November. He also flipped Florida and Arizona from red to blue en route to a convincing 1996 victory over Bob Dole. Less than 2 months after Clinton's second inauguration in 1997, the owners and players formally agreed to a new CBA, setting in motion for the fans a period of lasting labor peace. And a month later, on the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's historic first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Clinton again took center stage with acting Commissioner Selig and Robinson's widow, Rachel. More on this incredible night in Chapter 2002. On January 20, 1997, the day of Clinton's second inaugural, one of the best-known St. Louis Cardinals of Clinton's youth, Curt Flood, lost his battle with cancer. When 20-year-old Flood arrived from Cincinnati in 1958 to play for St. Louis, Clinton was only 11 years old. More than a decade later, encouraged by his idol Jackie Robinson, Flood challenged baseball's reserve clause in 1969, setting in motion an uprising that would forever change the game. Free agency took hold in the late 1970s, but it took 20 more years to make it official. It seemed fitting that it was President Clinton who on October 28, 1998, signed Public Law 105-297 of the 105th Congress, officially the Curt Flood Act of 1998, revoking baseball's antitrust exemption for labor matters once and for all. For the box score, play-by-play, and more, visit openingday5050.com.